Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are at the start of chapter 4, Perek Dalet. Yesterday we introduced it by talking about the Samaritans, the population of people who were moved into northern Israel by the Assyrians when they conquered the northern kingdom, when they exiled the 10 tribes. People who accepted Judaism somewhat to an unclear extent. They were attacked by lions. They felt it was because they were not worshiping Hashem, so they imported people to teach them how to observe Judaism, but they retained their Avodah Zarah, their idolatry, and there's a lot of discussion in the Gemara about their status. They tend to be identified in the Gemara as Kutim. So they're going to be a big problem for us. They are identified here in our perek as Tsarei Yehuda u'Binyamin, the enemies of Yehuda and Binyamin, for reasons which will become clear in the course of our chapter. So, taking a look at the opening. Vayishme'u Tsarei Yehuda u'Binyamin. The enemies of Yehuda and Binyamin heard Ki b'nei ha'gola bonim heichal Hashem Elokei Yisrael, that these people who came back from the exile, they're building a sanctuary for Hashem, God of Israel. And I think we noted the other day that they're identified already as enemies of Yehuda and Binyamin, either because they were enemies of whatever straggling Jews remained in Yehuda and Binyamin during the exile period, or because of what's going to happen here in the chapter. Vayikshu el Zerubbabel. They come to Zerubbabel, ve'el Rashei Ha'avos, and to the heads of the families. Vayomru lahem, and they said to them, Nivne imachem, we're going to build with you. Ki chachem nidrosh lelokechem, because like you, we seek your God. Velo anachnu zovachim. The word velo is written with an aleph. Ibn Ezra has a comment on that, but it's read as though it's velo with a vav. So velo, and to him, to the God of Israel, anachnu zovchim, we bring sacrifices. Mimei Esar Hadon Melech Ashur Hamaleo Sanupo. Since the days of Esar Hadon, the Assyrian king who brought us here, we want to build along with you. That's the idea. Noteworthy that they mention Esar Hadon as the one who brought them there, as opposed to some of the kings we mentioned yesterday. As we noted yesterday, Professor Zer Kavod notes it in the Dat Mikra, the arrival of these Samaritans in Shomron actually occurred over time. There were multiple kings who were involved in bringing them into Israel. So they come in with this message that they send to Zerubbabel and crew. Now, notice they're writing to Zerubbabel as opposed to Shesh Batzar, who was the political leader originally when the Jews came to the land. So why are they writing to Zerubbabel? So two suggestions. Suggestion number one, Shesh Batzar is now dead. He's gone. And now Zerubbabel has taken over. Suggestion number two, taking the view that Sheshbatzar and Zerubbabel are actually the same person, this could be a dig at him, calling him Zerubbabel. Meaning, we said that if you take the view that Sheshbatzar and Zerubbabel are the same person, some argue that Zerubbabel means Zera Bavel, from the seed of Bavel. It's the name that identifies him as Babylonian. And it could be they're trying to label the Jews as colonizers. Sound familiar? They're calling him not Shesh Batzar, but they're going to call him Zerubbabel. It's an interesting idea. In any case, you could definitely argue with that. Bottom line is, they say, we want to build this alongside you. We want to serve Hashem, your God. Pasuk Gimel, sentence 3. Vayomer lehem Zerubbabel v'Yeshua u'sha'ar rashei ha'avos li'Yisrael. Zerubbabel, Yeshua kohen gadol, and the heads of the families, all of them collectively respond, Lo lachem velanu livnos bayis le'elokeinu. Not for you and for us to build a house for our God. This is not a joint effort. Ki anachnu yachad nivne l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. We, united as a people, are going to build for Hashem, God of Israel. Kasher tzivanu hamelech koresh melech paras, as Cyrus, king of Persia, instructed us. So first of all, they say, we will build it yachad. I would have explained yachad as alone. We will build it alone. It's Ibn Ezra, who, again, as we've said, maybe Rabbi Moshe Kimchi, in his commentary to Ezra, says Yachad means all of the Jews together. We are going to build it. But the key line here is we're going to build it Ka'asher Tzivanu, as Cyrus commanded us. When did Cyrus ever say to them? We read his instruction, right? When did Cyrus ever say, you can't have cooperation, you're not allowed to have Samaritans on your side? Where is that from? So Mitzudas David says it really means, like, as Cyrus commanded us. How? So it depends on how we understand why they refused the Samaritan offer to help. So let's talk through that first. Two different approaches. One is the approach of Rashi. The other is the approach of Malbim. Rashi writes, Hayu omrim kach. He says the Samaritans said they wanted to do this. Leman tisbatel melechas habayis al yedehem shalo livnos od. Because they wanted to halt the work on the Beis Hamikdash. They wanted to prevent the construction. In Rashi's view, the Samaritan request to help is actually a request to enable them to do sabotage. Sure, we're here to help you. There are a lot of ways that once you're on the inside in a project, you're able to sabotage it. That's what they were trying to do, which is why Zerubbabel, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, and the rest of the elders say, thanks, but no thanks. Within that view, when they say, as Cyrus commanded us, that's essentially Diplo speak for saying, go away. We know what you're up to. No, we're going to do what Cyrus told us to do. Thank you very much. That's one approach. Malbim disagrees. Malbim says, Hakutim hayu ovdim b'shituf. The Kutim served multiple gods. Right, we saw that yesterday in the excerpt from Malachim about them. It said, "As Hashem hayu yireim ve'as Eloheihem heim ovdim." They revered God, or they feared God, perhaps, and they served their own gods. V'chashu shegam Yisrael yavdu ba'ofen zeh. And they thought this is a return to the good old days for the Jews, or as we look at it, the bad old days. This is a return to what you saw in Sefer Shoftim. This is a return to a phenomenon of a potential pluralism in which Jews would serve Hashem and they would also serve the local gods. I shouldn't necessarily assign that to Shoftim. That's a whole discussion about what's going on in the period of the Shoftim. But the overall concept is one we are familiar with, of Jews saying we're going to worship our God and we're also going to join with others. So according to the Malbim, that's what they were doing. They felt that this could be a house for Hashem, and it could also be a house for Avodah Zarah. In that case, if you take Malbim's approach, then when we said, no, we're just going to build it, that is as Cyrus commanded. Because if you go back to chapter 1, sentence 3, he was very explicit. He said, sentence 2, he said, Hupakad alai, Hashem commanded me, livnos lo bayis, to build a house for him in Yerushalayim. And in sentence 3, he said, who's going to go? V'yivenes beis Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to build the house of Hashem, God of Israel, hu hu Elokim Asher b'Yerushalayim. That's the God in Jerusalem. So the reason to refuse is because Cyrus told us that we're supposed to build this as a house for Hashem. Two ways to read what the Kutim were trying to do. Two ways to read the Jewish rejection of their cooperation in the name of Cyrus. I think also this parallels two views in the Gemara in Erech and Daf Hayamid Beis. There is a mitzvah in the Torah called Erech. In general, there's a concept in the Torah of being able to dedicate a donation to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash. However, there's a particular kind of contribution called Erech, in which a person donates their value as assigned on a scale. Meaning the Torah says, if you give an Erech donation, if you are a male of X age, it's like an actuarial table. If you're a male of X age, then this is the amount that you give. If you're a female of Y age, then this is the amount that you give. And the question in the Gemara in Erechin is, if somebody who is not Jewish comes to the Beis HaMikdash and says, I would like to participate. I want to give not just a regular contribution, I want to give an Erech contribution. Is that a thing? Or is the Torah's scale of Erech values not really applicable to them? So the Gemara in Erech and Daf Hey Amud Beis has indeed a machlokes on this point. The Mishnah has Rabbi Meir say, this is Erech, again, there's a Mishnah on Hey Amud Beis, Rabbi Meir says, Ne'erach avalo ma'arich. He says, if somebody else says they're going to give an erech value of this person who is not Jewish, that can happen. But he doesn't make an erech vow himself. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says just the opposite. He may choose to give an erech vow, but no one else can do it on him. What in the world is this about? What is the debate between them? So in the Gemara there, they explain what we're talking about. Rabbi Yehuda says that the non-Jew is able to be ma'arich. He says the issue with the Shomronim, with the Samaritans, was unique to those circumstances and concerned that they weren't really there to support, they were actually there to frustrate us. So we don't learn from the refusal to cooperate with them that in general we don't cooperate. It was because they wanted to sabotage us. But where they come and they say, I want to be ma'arich, I want to make an erech vow, sure, go ahead. We're happy for you to do so. This is consistent with Rashi. The Rashi said that the problem with the Samaritans was that they wanted to damage the process. Overall, we're happy to join with them. You want to make an erech vow? Sure, go ahead. It's only this group that was actually problematic. Whereas Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says they are not accepted to make an erech vow. Why? Because the response was, Lo lachem velanu livnos bayis elokeinu. It's not for us and you to build the house for our God together. The objection was not, see, really, I think I didn't say this quite clearly. I'm going to take a second to go back over it and say it better. Hope that's okay. Again, the Mishnah in Erechin says that Rabbi Meir says an akum, somebody who is not Jewish, is not able to make an erech vow. He's not able to do this dedication. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, he is. He is able to make the erech dedication. What's their debate about? So in the Gemara there, Rabbi Yehuda says, the reason why that I believe they are able to make an erech vow is because when we refused Samaritan help back in Ezra, that was a one-time refusal because we knew they were going to undermine us. And he quotes a pasuk we haven't seen yet, which is going to say, just a little further along, in chapter 4, sentence 4, that they indeed tried to terrorize us. Vayhi am ha'aretz merapin yedei am Yehuda. They tried to weaken the hands of the nation of Yehud, the Jews, umavahalim osam livnos, and they were trying to frighten us, as we'll discuss, from construction. So Rabbi Yehuda says the Samaritans were the enemy, that's why we rejected it, but overall, if somebody who isn't Jewish wants to come take an erech vow, he wants to contribute, that's 100% fine. Rabbi Yehuda is like the view of Rashi, that the Samaritans intended ill, and he says, that doesn't prevent future Akum, future non-Jews, from contributing. Whereas the view of Rabbi Meir, as explained in the Gemara, is that no, they're not accepted. No one is accepted to make such a vow. Why? Because he emphasizes a different part of it. He emphasizes sentence 3, in which the message from Zerubbabel, Yehoshua, and the elders was, Lo lachem velanu livnos beis Elokeinu. It's not for you to build the house of God with us. It isn't about the fact that they were harassing us or were going to harass us. It's that overall, you don't take their participation. What they want to do is to build a house that's for Hashem, but also for their gods. And therefore, we didn't accept the Shomronim, and therefore, we would not accept an Erech vow from them in the future. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. So hopefully this was somewhat clear. At least it should be clear. We have two arguments for why we refused them. One, they wanted to damage the process. Or two, because they wanted to build it jointly for Avodah Zarah. And that's reflected in a Gemara in Erechin, which talks about our willingness or non-willingness to accept this Erech vow from someone who isn't Jewish all through the generations. God willing, we will continue on Sunday.